Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from a study of Ezekiel, Part 5, Restoration. And this is today the final part of our presentation. We're in the end of Chapter 47 and all of 48. We'll cover it as quickly as we can. We want to finish this section today, and that will be all of Ezekiel. But next time, one more session, I want to talk about something that's not in the book that maybe you thought should be. We'll do a little bit of an addendum about the Gentiles next time around. Chapter 47, 21 to 23. So you shall divide this land among you according to the tribes of Israel. You shall allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the sojourner resides, there you shall assign him his inheritance, declares the Lord God. We have to keep being reminded that the millennium's people will be part resurrected holy saints who rule and reign and have no physical children, but are like the angels of heaven, and part ordinary people who are swept into the millennium by having survived the judgment of Christ on the world. I believe that the Matthew 25 throne scene, complete with sheep and goats, is not about individual Christians being judged based on their works of charity, but as it says, a gathering of the nations before Christ. That's what it says. To determine who will be sent to eternal punishment and who will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom. They'll be judged, I believe, based on their treatment of Christ during the tribulation and maybe throughout their history. It'll be a blessing to be counted worthy to live in this final stage of history, the great reset of all great resets. But it will not be an automatic free ticket to the ultimate promised land. Many will turn against Christ at the end of this period. So we should not be surprised in this passage at seeing land being passed on to sons born during this time. Many sons will indeed be born, and they will live long lives, as much of the curse on the earth has been relieved. And the last chapter of Ezekiel begins with the parceling out of the land between those four borders that we talked about last time to the tribes. Are we to assume that there are people in the world today who know their ancestry? Or are we here talking again about resurrected Jews picking up where they left off? Or both? We simply are not told. Chapter 48, verses 1 to 7. Seven tribes are given their portion of Israel. These are the names of the tribes, beginning at the northern extreme, beside the way of Hethlon to Lebo Hamath, as far as Hazar Enan, which is on the northern border of Damascus, over against Hamath, and extending from the east side to the west, Dan, one portion, then adjoining the territory of Dan, from the east to the west, Asher, one portion, adjoining the territory of Asher from the east to the west, Naphtali, one portion, adjoining the territory of Naphtali, east to west, Manasseh, one portion, adjoining the territory of Manasseh from the east to the west, Ephraim, one portion, adjoining the territory of Ephraim from the east side to the west, Reuben, one portion, adjoining the territory of Reuben from the east side to the west, Judah, one portion. So we began again from the north, in the area farthest from the sanctuary. Now, I'm not sure how much we should make of this, but there were favored tribes in the scripture, and this special favor of God may well extend into the millennium. One striking feature of the land distribution is that is far different from the original allotments is that each tribe is given essentially the same size plot and the same rectangular dimensions. Also, of course, there's nothing about conquest here. These divisions are settled already and will simply be handed to the respective tribes. So from north to south, a band of territory each to Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Judah. And as would be expected, Judah, the tribe of the prince and the Lord's earthly tribe, is beside the holy sector, which is described next. Look at verses 8 and 9, the Lord's holy portion, adjoining the territory of Judah from the east side to the west, another rectangular thing, shall be the portion which you shall set apart, 25,000 cubits in breadth and in length equal to one of the tribal portions from the east side to the west, with the sanctuary in the midst of it. The portion that you shall set apart for the Lord shall be 25,000 cubits in length, 20,000 in breadth. And then verses 10 to 12, the portion of Israel for the priests. There shall be, verses 10 to 12, these shall be the allotments of the holy portion. The priest shall have an allotment measuring 25,000 cubits on the northern side, 10,000 cubits in breadth on the western side, 10,000 in breadth on the eastern side, and 25,000 in length on the southern side, with the sanctuary of the Lord in the midst of it. This shall be for the consecrated priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge, who did not go astray when the people of Israel went astray, as the Levites did. And it shall belong to them as a special portion from the holy portion of the land, a most holy place, adjoining the territory of the Levites. So we're continuing southward now. I gave you the seven bands starting from the north all the way down through Judah, and then a huge band given for the administration of the worship and sacrifices of the people. We covered this territory actually in chapter 45. I see nothing new here. Based on that chapter, the Levites would be the farthest from the sanctuary, then the priests in that same band as the location of the temple, then a common area called the city, where Jews of all tribes evidently can mingle. Chapter 48, verses 13 and 14, the portion of Israel for the Levites, as in chapter 45, verse 5. Alongside the territory of the priests, the Levites shall have an allotment, 25,000 cubits in length, 10,000 in breadth. The whole length shall be 25,000 cubits and the breadth 20,000. They shall not sell or exchange any of it. They shall not alienate this choice portion of the land, for it is holy to the Lord. Again, you can go back to chapter 45 and see that. Here's chapter 45 again, verse 6. The portion of Israel given as a common territory and a capital city. This is verses 15 to 20. But again, it goes back to chapter 45, verse 6. The remainder, 5,000 cubits in breadth and 25,000 in length, shall be for common use for the city, for dwellings, and for open country. In the midst of it shall be the city, and these shall be its measurements. The north side, 4,500 cubits. The south side, 4,500. The east side, 4,500. And the west side, 4,500. And the city shall have open land. On the north, 250 cubits. On the south, 250. On the east and the west, 250. The remainder of the length, alongside the holy portion, shall be 10,000 cubits to the east, 10,000 to the west. And it shall be alongside the holy portion. Its produce shall be food for the workers of the city. And the workers of the city, from all the tribes of Israel, shall till it. The whole portion that you shall set apart shall be 25,000 cubits square, that is, the holy portion, together with the property of the city. Well, all of that is repeated from chapter 45, but here it's placed in its geographical context with the temple and its ministers right at the heart of the new Israel. Well, now, also going back to chapter 45, verses 7 and 8, here in chapter 48, verses 21 and 22, the portion of Israel for the prince. This is review. What remains on both sides of the holy portion and of the property of the city shall belong to the prince. extending from the 25,000 cubits of the holy portion to the east border, and westward from the 25,000 cubits to the west border, parallel to the tribal portions. It shall belong to the prince. The holy portion with the sanctuary of the temple shall be in its midst. It shall be separate from the property of the Levites and the property of the city, which are in the midst of that which belongs to the prince. The portion of the prince shall lie between the territory of Judah and the territory of Benjamin. Again, this was covered in chapter 45. Now, the other five tribes. We're going from north to south. I hope you're getting this. First, seven tribes, then that holy area, including the area given to the prince. Now we're going to continue with the tribes as we just go on down, another band, another band, another band, all the way down. Five tribes assigned a portion in verses 23 to 29. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west, Benjamin one portion, adjoining the territory of Benjamin from the east to the west, Simeon. And it keeps on going down. Simeon, and then Issachar, and then Zebulun, and then Gad. And adjoining the territory of Gad, the boundary shall run from Tamar to the waters of Meribah Kadesh, from there along the brook of Egypt to the Great Sea. This is the very bottom now of Israel. This is the land that you shall allot as an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. And these are their portions, declares the Lord God. So, from north to south, so far, seven tribes have a band of territory each. Then the holy area of temple, priests, Levites, the city, and the prince's area. Now the final five tribes. Notice that Benjamin, almost always mentioned with Judah in the history of Israel, is placed next to the holy area also on the other side from Judah. Simeon, too, has been absorbed by Judah over the centuries and takes a special place as one of the four sons of Leah. That's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Those are the main persons. Next in line for honor would be the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, placed just above Judah and Reuben in the north. The tribes farthest from the center, as in the Old Testament, are the sons of concubines. And yet they're still solidly Israel. Chapter 48, verses 30 to 34. The gates of the millennial city are named, and the sides are measured. These shall be the exits of the city. On the north side, which is to be 4,500 cubits by measure, three gates, the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, and the gate of Levi. The gates of the city being named after the tribes of Israel. On the east side, which is to be 4,500 cubits, three gates, the gate of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, and the gate of Dan. On the south side, which is to be 4,500 cubits by measure, three gates, the gate of Simeon, the gate of Issachar, and the gate of Zebulun. On the west side, which is to be 4,500 cubits, three gates, the gate of Gad, the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. So one final look at the city and some new names to its gates. You'll note here that Levi has been included, for he was, after all, a son of Israel. And Joseph's sons are excluded to make room for just Joseph himself, making the count back to 12. I still believe that Revelation 21 and 22 tell of a time beyond the millennial kingdom, since there is no temple there. But it is a fact that John sees in the final Jerusalem these same 12 gates with the same names attached, and more. John also sees that the foundations of the city have been named. The apostles' names are inscribed there. Don't you dare, sir, call yourself one of the apostles as in the Bible times. Oh, no. No, there's 12 of those. Okay, they're named. The walls in which these gates are situated are about a mile and a half in every direction. I'll let you do the math this time. 4,500 times 21. Divided by 12. Again, divided by 5,280. What do you come up with there? Excuse me. Now, chapter 48, verse 35a, the perimeter of the new city. The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. That's 6 miles. MacArthur references Josephus to tell us that in the first century, Jerusalem was about 4 miles around. Here also is a major difference between what Ezekiel is seeing and what John will see 600 years later. The Jerusalem of all the glorified saints of all time will be a cube of unutterable proportions, literally millions of square feet, cubic feet. Again, I must assume that Revelation 21 and 22 follow the millennium, though again, many of its features overlap. Chapter 48, 35b, the end, a new name for the city. And the name of the city from that time on shall be The Lord Is There. And Jerusalem means city of peace. The Prince of Peace will rule there forever. But during this time of 1,000 years, and perhaps beyond, it will be known as the city where the Lord is there. Not just reigning, but there. Ezekiel has documented for us the exit of the Lord from Israel. Israel destroyed. Jerusalem destroyed. The temple destroyed. Over and over, rebellion and destruction and captivity and trying to start over and failing because the Lord is not there. But on that day of which Ezekiel has been informed, he is there and his people are there. And here is one story which can end truthfully, and they lived happily ever after. Amen. Yeah. Oh, boy. That's Ezekiel. That's the book of Ezekiel. There's something left out, not by God, but in our thinking. There's something seems to be missing. And I want to talk about that the next time. We'll talk about the Gentiles. Where in the world are the Gentiles in all this? Where are you? Where am I? Okay, thank you so much for being here today. I've been talking about a different book every day so that you can be informed about what's available to you. Here's part two. Part one of Scarlet Threads was about Babylon as it was described in the Bible. Babylon's all through the Bible, you know, Babel, Babylon. It's the background, but it's there all the way through. Well, you come out of the Bible, and it doesn't just disappear. The pagan kingdoms that played the role of Babylon through the centuries are so easily identified. Why is it so difficult to continue the tracing of this mystery when we come into the centuries after Christ, in the year of our Lord, today? This is the theme of part two, a sad look at how the Church of Jesus was enticed by, and then nearly overcome by, or so it seemed, the prince of this world and the kingdom that he presently rules. Sad book. Another little booklet. All these are booklets. I put them all together. By the way, you don't have to get these one at a time. They're all together in one big book, 7 parts, just called The Scarlet Threads. And you can get them a little at a time through Kindle or however you want to do that. Or you can get them all at once. That's all available. Just click on store there and you'll see what I'm talking about. That's all I have time for today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.